John McClain with us. You can follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. John, thank you for being patient with us. How are you?
I was doing great till I started picturing Paul in a bikini.
He actually wears a one piece.
A unitard. You know,
John, let me get your take on this first. With the new anthem policy across the league, does that take away any ability for teams to say they're not going to sign Eric Reed or Colin Kaepernick because of what they would do during the anthem?
Well, first of all, Colin Kaepernick's not ever going to sign with anybody, period. And I believe Eric Reed will sign with somebody. And remember Mike Brown asked him about it. Everybody raised Cain because Brown asked.
Yeah.
If I'm a boss of the store and a guy's done something that could distract from my product, of course I'm going to ask him about it. So he didn't say one way or another, but the fact is, if indeed under the new rules he were to be on the sideline and kneel, the team can fine him. So I think when you hit people in the pocketbook, that's when it gets their attention. The team would be signed, and then that owner could in turn find the player. So players are going to find a way to protest. I don't know how many will be kneeling, but remember, they said anything that shows disrespect to the flag, and they were asked, what about holding up a fist? Yes, anything that shows that what they believe is disrespect to the flag during the anthem, even though players protesting has nothing to do with the national anthem and disrespect to the flag.
Right. 615-737-1045, our number if you'd like to talk with John McClain. Are we giving enough attention to Andrew Luck and the Colts and him not throwing the football yet?
I think he's getting a lot of attention. I heard a long interview with Mike Chappell, who covers the team, yesterday, and as he pointed out, they can say all they want about how he's expected to throw in camp, but until you see him throw hard consistently and make all the throws he could make before, of course there can be a grave concern about it, no matter what they say.
There's a lot of talk. I don't know if there's enough, because the assumption is, and we heard it last year really from the Colts, that he'll be ready for the regular season, and now we're hearing he'll be ready for training camp. But I mean, Peyton Manning recently admitted that it took him quite a while to get the confidence back after the neck issue that he had. I can't imagine that Luck would be any different with the issues he's going through with his shoulder.
And it's not just physically being able to do what you used to do, but like Peyton said, it's about confidence. You might be able to make a throw, but trying it during a game, the way you would have threaded a needle before, thrown it into a tight window and not thought twice about it. Now, of course, Andrew Luck's confidence, he's going to have to make one to show him that he can do it. But I think there is a lot of concern among fans, media, and I'm guessing among people in the Colts front office about Andrew Luck's inability to throw at this point.
Longtime NFL guru from the Houston Chronicle, John McClain, with us as he is a couple times a week. John, Pat Bowlen's daughter, Beth, comes out and says she wants to be controlling owner of the team. Her father, obviously ill, pulled back several years ago, set up a system where CEO Joe Ellis and general manager John Elway control the organization and kind of get to be the judge as to if and when one of Bowlen's kids is ready and suited for the role. Gives them a hell of a lot of power over a family issue. I think he might have 7 kids. She once worked for the organization but was in some way, shape, or form ousted. How does this whole thing turn out, and just how much power do they have?
Well, I think there's a 3-person trustees that they make that decision. Joe Ellis runs the administrative side. John Elway runs the personnel department. And the Broncos put out a long, in-depth release explaining the process, the way Pat Bowlen had set it up, the way it's supposed to be run. and they said she is not qualified at this time to run the organization. I mean, they just shot her out of the water. And it's clearly specified in the will or the document, whatever Pat Bowlen set up, and they spelled it out in that release. And based on that release, doesn't matter that she thinks she's ready, and she used to work in the organization. It doesn't anymore. She's not running that organization, and she can go to court. She can sue. She can do anything they want. She wants, but it is spelled out clearly about what has to happen.
Well, we're speaking of controlling owners. Amy Adams Strunk really had a moment in the sun when Nashville was awarded the draft. Obviously, that's a happy day and a limited interview. She sat down with Steve Weiss and Judy Batista, though, and charmed them on NFL Network. That's the most exposure she's had. I've written that them giving the draft to Nashville and the Titans as a host certainly suggests her standing with the league continues to grow, despite some people's insistence that the team is for sale and some still occasional rumblings that the league isn't satisfied with the structure. What do you think about her standing?
Well, first of all, Amy did lobby them for Nashville, and there were a lot of people lobbying for Nashville, and it wasn't just that they were lobbying. They had a great plan in place. And I'm told Spiridum. Yeah, that he did a tremendous job making sure Nashville has all of its ducks in a row. It's a huge event for the city. It's going to be a tremendous success. People get to not just see Nashville throughout the draft, but in the publicity leading up to it. You know, no telling who all they're going to use who's famous in promos for the draft. Like this year, you know, they used the took off on Dallas, the TV show. I thought it was very clever and very ingenious the way they did it. And so they'll come up with some kind of ad campaign using Nashville's biggest stars, which will just call more attention to the city. And that's what it's all about. And you thought that the Nashville got a lot of publicity during the Stanley Cup Finals last year. This is the NFL, and it's going to be the biggest, the most attention they've gotten in Nashville since, I guess, since they were in the playoffs or since they got the franchise. That's how big it's going to be for the city.
John McLean is with us. You can join him, 615-737-1045, our number. John, how about J.R. Smith last night in the final? Crazy.
I felt so sorry for that guy. You know, he went brain dead. He thought they had a lead. They didn't. It just, and of course, he's getting killed. People are going to remember that forever. I mean, there were other mistakes they made, but with LeBron James right there next to him, trying to motion him to get past the ball, and he wouldn't do it, and he's got to live with it. And then LeBron cutting short his news conference, saying that, you know, he'd had enough of the questions about JR from the media, but that was their best chance to win a game there. And of course, anytime that happens and you go to overtime, chances are you're not going to be as good. So I felt sorry for the guy. It reminded me of Chris Webber when he was at Michigan. Was that Michigan when he called the timeout that they didn't have? Cost him the game.
I think it's worse, John. I mean, I think not knowing how many timeouts you have and not knowing the score are two separate issues. That's last night was far dumber by a guy who's making $13 million a year, and Chris Webber was a college kid.
And a veteran, you're right. A
couple people, by the way, just an aside, suggesting to us on Twitter that he was confused on which end of the floor they were on and was starting to go on a fast break to the other end, which is, I think, ridiculous. If no one else is going with you.
Yeah. He was trying to run out the clock.
Yes.
I mean, let's be honest.
Yes, that's what he was doing.
Because he was not looking up court. John, he was looking to get away from everyone else.
Does that brain dead moment remind you of any player in the NFL that you've covered over the years?
Well, I didn't cover him. It was before my time, but Jim Wrongway Marshall from the Vikings going the wrong way and scoring a touchdown. We've seen instances in basketball where guys will put the ball back up and then realize, oh, my God, you know, that was that's a wrong basket.
I've got
one. I remember, Steve, I got a great one, and it was not brain dead. It was just Steve Smith, the defenseman for the Edmonton Oilers, put the puck in his own net, cost the Oilers a chance to win five consecutive Stanley Cups when they had Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier and Kevin Lowe and all those great Grant Fuhr, one of the two greatest dynasties I've ever seen in the NHL, and he put the puck in his own net, and it's something that is haunting him the rest of his life.
I think in Nashville, one of the big ones is Darius Renat.
Yes.
Who
opening game in Pittsburgh.
Opening kickoff in Pittsburgh.
First game for Mike Munchak,
broke the plane of the goal line coming out of the end zone as he bobbled it, grabbed it, and knelt down in the end zone for what was not a season-opening touchback, but was a season-opening safe.
And under the new rule, he will not have to worry about it because you do not need to down the ball.
Yeah, so the rule is that you can just let the ball touch the ground, and it's a dead ball.
Right.
Okay.
Makes it a punt.
Real quick, breaking news, guys, from SEC spring meetings. The school presidents voted, and they are changing the transfer rule. Now people are able to go right away if they're a graduate to any SEC school.
It looks like
graduate transfer rule. Looks like Brandon Kennedy will be a member of the Tennessee football team in short order. Nick Saban complained about it and said, "Why are you blaming me? Change the rule if you don't like it." Well, they changed the rule.
Good.
So now he can no longer block anyone from transferring.
I'm glad that they changed the rule and clarified the rule. That makes it much easier all coaches. John, Odell Beckham Jr. trying to prove that he's invested in the Giants. Is it going to work? Will it work out long term for him there?
Oh yeah, it'll work out and they'll pay him. Right now, those negotiations, everybody that wants one of those monster contracts to be paid the most by a player other than a quarterback, those guys are not going anywhere. All the agents are waiting, not just for defense either. You know, Aaron Donald deserves to be paid the most. Khalil Mack, Jadeveon Clowney third. Clowney's hurt. They're not doing anything with him. They haven't even ever gotten serious on his negotiations. So even though there were two national media reports saying he was close to signing, which was never true. And so I think it'll be right before training camp or right before the season. Once one of these deals gets done, you'll see a domino effect.
And Aaron Donald as well. I mean, they've got to work out a deal for him.
He wants more than they want to pay. He's going to be the first $20 million a year non-quarterback. Everybody knows it, but maybe he's looking for $25 million.
RG3 has welcomed Lamar Jackson in Baltimore into the Ravens locker room, and recently Joe Flacco kind of did the same. To USA Today Sports late last week, he said, "People want to act like I'm holding some grudge, but that's not how it is. We welcome Lamar here with open arms, and that's the same for me. My approach doesn't change. I want to go win football games this year, and we have a lot of new guys that I have to get ready to play." He goes on to say, "I want to say I was surprised. Listen, when you pick a quarterback or pick anybody in the first round, it means something. I don't know what it means, but it's not my job to worry about what it means. My job is to keep the same approach that I've had the last 10 years and to help us win football games."
Is it his job to answer a phone call? Where's the answer to why he wouldn't answer a phone call?
Maybe he was out of the country.
Yeah, let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that. Soon he's going to be out of the starting lineup.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe his phone wouldn't work when he was out of the country. It does look very petty, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
He's not bad. I mean, it's been a long time since he was good. The guy is the poster boy for lightning in a bottle during a playoff run. God bless him. He was phenomenal in that playoff series where they went and won the Super Bowl. But he'd never been close to that guy since, really, and now he's very average. And he got paid out of that one run, which was more power to him.
Isn't that amazing that a guy, remember the game he pulled out in Denver during that run? Amazing that a guy can play that well one time and never come close again.
John, thank you as always. We will talk with you on Tuesday.
Sounds great, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. John McClain, you can follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL_.